Preface. Aha. The journey to complete the DevOps handbook has been a long one. It started with weekly working Skype calls between the co-authors in February of 2011, with the vision of creating a prescriptive guide that would serve as a companion to the as-yet-unfinished book, The Phoenix Project, a novel about IT, DevOps, and helping your business win. More than 5 years later, with over 2,000 hours of work, the DevOps Handbook is finally here. Completing this book has been an extremely long process, although one that has been highly rewarding and full of incredible learning, with a scope that is much broader than we originally envisioned. Throughout the project, all the co-authors shared a belief that DevOps is genuinely important, formed in a personal aha moment much earlier in each of our professional careers, which I suspect many of our readers will resonate with. Gene Kim. I've had the privilege of studying high-performing technology organizations since 1999, and one of the earliest findings was that boundary spanning between the different functional groups of IT operations, information security, and development was critical to success. But I still remember the first time I saw the magnitude of the downward spiral that would result when these functions worked toward opposing goals. It was 2006, and I had the opportunity to spend a week with the group who managed the outsourced IT operations of a large airline reservation service. They described the downstream consequences of their large annual software releases. Each release would cause immense chaos and disruption for the outsourcer as well as customers. There would be SLA, service level agreement, penalties, because of the customer impacting outages. There would be layoffs of the most talented and experienced staff, because of the resulting profit shortfalls. There would be much unplanned work and firefighting so that the remaining staff couldn't work on the ever-growing service request backlogs coming from customers. The contract would be held together by the heroics of middle management. And everyone felt that the contract would be doomed to be put out for rebid in 3 years. The sense of hopelessness and futility that resulted created for me the beginnings of a moral crusade. Development seemed to always be viewed as strategic, but IT operations was viewed as tactical, often delegated away or outsourced entirely, only to return in 5 years in worse shape than it was first handed over. For many years, many of us knew that there must be a better way. I remember seeing the talks coming out of the 2009 Velocity Conference, describing amazing outcomes enabled by architecture, technical practices, and cultural norms that we now know as DevOps. I was so excited because it clearly pointed to the better way that we had all been searching for. And helping spread that word was one of my personal motivations to co-author The Phoenix Project. You can imagine how incredibly rewarding it was to see the broader community react to that book, describing how it helped them achieve their own aha moments. Jez Humble. My DevOps aha moment was at a startup in 2000, my first job after graduating. For some time, I was one of two technical staff. I did everything: networking, programming, support, systems administration. We deployed software to production by FTP directly from our workstations. Then in 2004, I got a job at ThoughtWorks, a consultancy where my first gig was working on a project involving about 70 people. I was on a team of 8 engineers whose full-time job was to deploy our software into a production-like environment. In the beginning, it was really stressful. But over a few months, we went from manual deployments that took 2 weeks to an automated deployment that took 1 hour, where we could roll forward and back in milliseconds using the blue-green deployment pattern during normal business hours. That project inspired a lot of the ideas in both the Continuous Delivery, Addison Wesley 2000, book, and this one. A lot of what drives me and others working in this space is the knowledge that whatever your constraints, we can always do better, and the desire to help people on their journey. Patrick Dubois. For me, it was a collection of moments. In 2007, I was working on a data center migration project with some agile teams. I was jealous that they had such high productivity, able to get so much done in so little time. For my next assignment, I started experimenting with Kanban and operations and saw how the dynamic of the team changed. Later, at the Agile Toronto 2008 conference, I presented my IEEE paper on this, but I felt it didn't resonate widely in the Agile community. We started an Agile system administration group, but I overlooked the human side of things. After seeing the 2009 Velocity conference presentation, 10 Deploys Per Day, by John Allspaugh and Paul Hammond, I was convinced others were thinking in a similar way. So I decided to organize the first DevOps Days, accidentally coining the term DevOps. The energy at the event was unique and contagious. When people started to thank me because it changed their life for the better, I understood the impact. I haven't stopped promoting DevOps since. John Willis. In 2008, I had just sold a consulting business that focused on large-scale, legacy IT operations practices around configuration management and monitoring, Tivoli, when I first met Luke Cunnies, the founder of Puppet Labs. Luke was giving a presentation on Puppet at an O'Reilly open source conference on configuration management, CM. At first, I was just hanging out at the back of the room, killing time and thinking, what could this 20-year-old tell me about configuration management? After all, I had literally been working my entire life at some of the largest enterprises in the world, helping them architect CM and other operations management solutions. However, about 5 minutes into his session, I moved up to the first row and realized everything I had been doing for the last 20 years was wrong. Luke was describing what I now call second-generation CM. After his session, I had an opportunity to sit down and have coffee with him. I was totally sold on what we now call infrastructure as code. However, while we met for coffee, Luke started going even further, explaining his ideas. He started telling me he believed that operations was going to have to start behaving like software developers. They were going to have to keep their configurations in source control and adopt CI/CD delivery patterns for their workflow. Being the old IT operations person at the time, I think I replied to him with something like, that idea is going to sink like Led Zeppelin with ops folk. I was clearly wrong. Then about a year later, in 2009, at another O'Reilly conference, Velocity, I saw Andrew Clay Schaefer give a presentation on agile infrastructure. In his presentation, Andrew showed this iconic picture of a wall between developers and operations, with a metaphorical depiction of work being thrown over the wall. He coined this the wall of confusion. The ideas he expressed in that presentation codified what Luke was trying to tell me a year earlier. That was the light bulb for me. Later that year, I was the only American invited to the original DevOps Days in Ghent. By the time that event was over, this thing we call DevOps was clearly in my blood. Clearly, the co-authors of this book all came to a similar epiphany, even if they came there from very different directions. But there is now an overwhelming weight of evidence that the problems described above happen almost everywhere, and that the solutions associated with DevOps are nearly universally applicable. The goal of writing this book is to describe how to replicate the DevOps transformations we've been a part of or have observed, as well as dispel many of the myths of why DevOps won't work in certain situations. Below are some of the most common myths we hear about DevOps. Myth: DevOps is only for startups. While DevOps practices have been pioneered by the web scale, internet unicorn companies such as Google, Amazon, Netflix, and Etsy, each of these organizations has, at some point in their history, risked going out of business because of the problems associated with more traditional horse organizations. Highly dangerous code releases that were prone to catastrophic failure, inability to release features fast enough to beat the competition, compliance concerns, an inability to scale, high levels of distrust between development and operations, and so forth. However, each of these organizations was able to transform their architecture, technical practices, and culture to create the amazing outcomes that we associate with DevOps. As Dr. Brandon Williams, an information security executive, quipped, "Let there be no more talk of DevOps unicorns or horses, but only thoroughbreds and horses heading to the glue factory." Myth: DevOps replaces Agile. DevOps principles and practices are compatible with Agile, with many observing that DevOps is a logical continuation of the Agile journey that started in 2001. Agile often serves as an effective enabler of DevOps because of its focus on small teams continually delivering high-quality code to customers. Many DevOps practices emerge if we continue to manage our work beyond the goal of potentially shippable code at the end of each iteration, extending it to having our code always in a deployable state, with developers checking into trunk daily, and that we demonstrate our features in production-like environments. Myth: DevOps is incompatible with ITIL. Many view DevOps as a backlash to ITIL, or ITSM, IT Service Management, which was originally published in 1989. ITIL has broadly influenced multiple generations of ops practitioners, including one of the co-authors, and is an ever-evolving library of practices intended to codify the processes and practices that underpin world-class IT operations, spanning service strategy, design, and support. DevOps practices can be made compatible with ITIL process. However, to support the shorter lead times and higher deployment frequencies associated with DevOps, many areas of the ITIL processes become fully automated, solving many problems associated with the configuration and release management processes. For example, keeping the configuration management database and definitive software libraries up to date. And because DevOps requires fast detection and recovery when service incidents occur, the ITIL disciplines of service design, incident, and problem management remain as relevant as ever. Myth: DevOps is incompatible with information security and compliance. The absence of traditional controls, for example, segregation of duty, change approval processes, manual security reviews at the end of the project, may dismay information security and compliance professionals. However, that doesn't mean that DevOps organizations don't have effective controls. Instead of security and compliance activities only being performed at the end of the project, controls are integrated into every stage of daily work in the software development lifecycle, resulting in better quality, security, and compliance outcomes. Myth: DevOps means eliminating IT operations, or NoOps. Many misinterpret DevOps as the complete elimination of the IT operations function. However, this is rarely the case. While the nature of IT operations work may change, it remains as important as ever. IT operations collaborates far earlier in the software lifecycle with development, who continues to work with IT operations long after the code has been deployed into production. Instead of IT operations doing manual work that comes from work tickets, it enables developer productivity through APIs and self-serviced platforms that create environments, test and deploy code, monitor and display production telemetry, and so forth. By doing this, IT operations become more like development, as do QA and InfoSec, engaged in product development, where the product is the platform that developers use to safely, quickly, and securely test, deploy, and run their IT services in production. Myth: DevOps is just infrastructure as code, or automation. While many of the DevOps patterns shown in this book require automation, DevOps also requires cultural norms and an architecture that allows for the shared goals to be achieved throughout the IT value stream. This goes far beyond just automation. As Christopher Little, a technology executive and one of the earliest chroniclers of DevOps, wrote, "DevOps isn't about automation. just as astronomy isn't about telescopes. Myth. DevOps is only for open source software. Although many DevOps success stories take place in organizations using software such as the LAMP stack, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, achieving DevOps outcomes is independent of the technology being used. Successes have been achieved with applications written in Microsoft.NET, COBOL, and mainframe assembly code, as well as with SAP and even embedded systems. For example, HP LaserJet firmware. Spreading the aha moment. Each of the authors has been inspired by the amazing innovations happening in the DevOps community and the outcomes they are creating. They are creating safe systems of work and enabling small teams to quickly and independently develop and validate code that can be safely deployed to customers. Given our belief that DevOps is a manifestation of creating dynamic, learning organizations that continually reinforce high trust cultural norms, it is inevitable that these organizations will continue to innovate and win in the marketplace. It is our sincere hope that the DevOps Handbook will serve as a valuable resource for many people in different ways: a guide for planning and executing DevOps transformations, a set of case studies to research and learn from, a chronicle of the history of DevOps, a means to create a coalition that spans product owners, architecture, development, QA, IT operations, and information security to achieve common goals, a way to get the highest levels of leadership support for DevOps initiatives, as well as a moral imperative to change the way we manage technology organizations to enable better effectiveness and efficiency, as well as enabling a happier and more humane work environment, helping everyone become lifelong learners. This not only helps everyone achieve their highest goals as human beings, but also helps their organizations win. Forward. In the past, many fields of engineering have experienced a sort of notable evolution, continually leveling up its understanding of its own work. While there are university curriculums and professional support organizations situated within specific disciplines of engineering, civil, mechanical, electrical, nuclear, etc., the fact is, modern society needs all forms of engineering to recognize the benefits of and work in a multidisciplinary way. Think about the design of a high-performance vehicle. Where does the work of a mechanical engineer end and the work of an electrical engineer begin? Where, and how and when, should someone with domain knowledge of aerodynamics, who certainly would have well-formed opinions on the shape, size, and placement of windows, collaborate with an expert in passenger ergonomics? What about the chemical influences of fuel mixture and oil on the materials of the engine and transmission over the lifetime of the vehicle? There are other questions we can ask about the design of an automobile, but the end result is the same. Success in modern technical endeavors absolutely requires multiple perspectives and expertise to collaborate. In order for a field or discipline to progress and mature, it needs to reach a point where it can thoughtfully reflect on its origins, seek out a diverse set of perspectives on those reflections, and place that synthesis into a context that is useful for how the community pictures the future. This book represents such a synthesis and should be seen as a seminal collection of perspectives on the, I will argue, still emerging and quickly evolving, field of software engineering and operations. No matter what industry you are in, or what product or service your organization provides, this way of thinking is paramount and necessary for survival for every business and technology leader. John Allspaw, CTO, Etsy. Brooklyn, New York, August 2016. Imagine a world where Dev and Ops become DevOps. An introduction to the DevOps Handbook. Imagine a world where product owners, development, QA, IT operations, and InfoSec work together, not only to help each other, but also to ensure that the overall organization succeeds. By working toward a common goal, they enable the fast flow of planned work into production. For example, performing tens, hundreds, or even thousands of code deploys per day, while achieving world-class stability, reliability, availability, and security. In this world, cross-functional teams rigorously test their hypotheses of which features will most delight users and advance the organizational goals. They care not just about implementing user features, but also actively ensure their work flows smoothly and frequently through the entire value stream without causing chaos and disruption to IT operations or any other internal or external customer. Simultaneously, QA, IT operations, and InfoSec are always working on ways to reduce friction for the team, creating the work systems that enable developers to be more productive and get better outcomes. By adding the expertise of QA, IT operations, and InfoSec into delivery teams and automated self-service tools and platforms, teams are able to use that expertise in their daily work without being dependent on other teams. This enables organizations to create a safe system of work, where small teams are able to quickly and independently develop, test, and deploy code and value quickly, safely, securely, and reliably to customers. This allows organizations to maximize developer productivity, enable organizational learning, create high employee satisfaction, and win in the marketplace. These are the outcomes that result from DevOps. For most of us, this is not the world we live in. More often than not, the system we work in is broken, resulting in extremely poor outcomes that fall well short of our true potential. In our world, development and IT operations are adversaries. Testing and InfoSec activities happen only at the end of a project, too late to correct any problems found, and almost any critical activity requires too much manual effort and too many handoffs, leaving us to always be waiting. Not only does this contribute to extremely long lead times to get anything done, but the quality of our work, especially production deployments, is also problematic and chaotic, resulting in negative impacts to our customers and our business. As a result, we fall far short of our goals, and the whole organization is dissatisfied with the performance of IT, resulting in budget reductions and frustrated, unhappy employees who feel powerless to change the process and its outcomes. The solution? We need to change how we work. DevOps shows us the best way forward. To better understand the potential of the DevOps revolution, let us look at the manufacturing revolution of the 1980s. By adopting lean principles and practices, manufacturing organizations dramatically improved plant productivity, customer lead times, product quality, and customer satisfaction, enabling them to win in the marketplace. Before the revolution, average manufacturing plant order lead times were 6 weeks, with fewer than 70% of orders being shipped on time. By 2005, with the widespread implementation of lean practices, average product lead times had dropped to less than 3 weeks, and more than 95% of orders were being shipped on time. Organizations that did not implement lean practices lost market share, and many went out of business entirely. Similarly, the bar has been raised for delivering technology products and services. What was good enough in previous decades is not good enough now. For each of the last 4 decades, the cost and time required to develop and deploy strategic business capabilities and features has dropped by orders of magnitude. During the 1970s and 1980s, most new features required 1 to 5 years to develop and deploy, often costing tens of millions of dollars. By the 2000s, because of advances in technology and the adoption of agile principles and practices, the time required to develop new functionality had dropped to weeks or months. But deploying into production would still require weeks or months, often with catastrophic outcomes. And by 2010, with the introduction of DevOps and the never-ending commoditization of hardware, software, and now the cloud, features and even entire startup companies could be created in weeks, quickly being deployed into production in just hours or minutes. For these organizations, deployment finally became routine and low risk. These organizations are able to perform experiments to test business ideas, discovering which ideas create the most value for customers and the organization as a whole, which are then further developed into features that can be rapidly and safely deployed into production. Today, organizations adopting DevOps principles and practices often deploy changes hundreds or even thousands of times per day. In an age where competitive advantage requires fast time to market and relentless experimentation, organizations that are unable to replicate these outcomes are destined to lose in the marketplace to more nimble competitors and could potentially go out of business entirely, much like the manufacturing organizations that did not adopt lean principles. These days, regardless of what industry we are competing in, the way we acquire customers and deliver value to them is dependent on the technology value stream. Put even more succinctly, as Jeffrey Immelt, CEO of General Electric, stated, "Every industry and company that is not bringing software to the core of their business will be disrupted." Or as Jeffrey Snover, technical fellow at Microsoft, said, "In previous economic eras, businesses created value by moving atoms. Now they create value by moving bits." It's difficult to overstate the enormity of this problem. It affects every organization, independent of the industry we operate in, the size of our organization, whether we are profit or nonprofit. Now more than ever, how technology work is managed and performed predicts whether our organizations will win in the marketplace or even survive. In many cases, we will need to adopt principles and practices that look very different from those that have successfully guided us over the past decades. See Appendix 1. Now that we have established the urgency of the problem that DevOps solves, let us take some time to explore in more detail the symptomatology of the problem, why it occurs, and why, without dramatic intervention, the problem worsens over time. The problem. Something in your organization must need improvement, or you wouldn't be reading this book. Most organizations are not able to deploy production changes in minutes or hours, instead requiring weeks or months. Nor are they able to deploy hundreds or thousands of changes into production per day. Instead, they struggle to deploy monthly or even quarterly. Nor are production deployments routine, instead involving outages and chronic firefighting and heroics. In an age where competitive advantage requires fast time to market, high service levels, and relentless experimentation, these organizations are at a significant competitive disadvantage. This is in large part due to their inability to resolve a core chronic conflict within their technology organization. The core chronic conflict. In almost every IT organization, there is an inherent conflict between development and IT operations, which creates a downward spiral, resulting in ever slower time to market for new products and features, reduced quality, increased outages, and, worst of all, an ever-increasing amount of technical debt. The term technical debt was first coined by Ward Cunningham. Analogous to financial debt, technical debt describes how decisions we make lead to problems that get increasingly more difficult to fix over time, continually reducing our available options in the future. Even when taken on judiciously, we still incur interest. One factor that contributes to this is the often competing goals of development and IT operations. IT organizations are responsible for many things. Among them are the two following goals, which must be pursued simultaneously. Respond to the rapidly changing competitive landscape. Provide stable, reliable, and secure service to the customer. Frequently, development will take responsibility for responding to changes in the market, deploying features and changes into production as quickly as possible. IT operations will take responsibility for providing customers with IT service that is stable, reliable, and secure, making it difficult or even impossible for anyone to introduce production changes that could jeopardize production. Configured this way, development and IT operations have diametrically opposed goals and incentives. Dr. Eliyahu M. Goldratt, one of the founders of the manufacturing management movement, called these types of configuration the core chronic conflict. When organizational measurements and incentives across different silos prevent the achievement of global organizational goals. This conflict creates a downward spiral so powerful it prevents the achievement of desired business outcomes, both inside and outside the IT organization. These chronic conflicts often put technology workers into situations that lead to poor software and service quality and bad customer outcomes, as well as a daily need for workarounds, firefighting, and heroics, whether in product management, development, QA, IT operations, or information security. See Appendix 2. Downward spiral in three acts. The downward spiral in IT has three acts that are likely familiar to most IT practitioners. The first act begins in IT operations, where our goal is to keep applications and infrastructure running so that our organization can deliver value to customers. In our daily work, many of our problems are due to applications and infrastructure that are complex, poorly documented, and incredibly fragile. This is the technical debt and daily workarounds that we live with constantly, always promising that we'll fix the mess when we have a little more time. But that time never comes. Alarmingly, our most fragile artifacts support either our most important revenue-generating systems or our most critical projects. In other words, the systems most prone to failure are also our most important and are at the epicenter of our most urgent changes. When these changes fail, they jeopardize our most important organizational promises, such as availability to customers, revenue goals, security of customer data, accurate financial reporting, and so forth. The second act begins when somebody has to compensate for the latest broken promise. It could be a product manager promising a bigger, bolder feature to dazzle customers with, or a business executive setting an even larger revenue target. Then, oblivious to what technology can or can't do, or what factors led to missing our earlier commitment, they commit the technology organization to deliver upon this new promise. As a result, development is tasked with another urgent project that inevitably requires solving new technical challenges and cutting corners to meet the promised release date, further adding to our technical debt, made, of course, with the promise that we'll fix any resulting problems when we have a little more time. This sets the stage for the third and final act, where everything becomes just a little more difficult, bit by bit. Everybody gets a little busier. Work takes a little more time. Communications become a little slower. And work queues get a little longer. Our work becomes more tightly coupled. Smaller actions cause bigger failures, and we become more fearful and less tolerant of making changes. Work requires more communication, coordination, and approvals. Teams must wait just a little longer for their dependent work to get done, and our quality keeps getting worse. The wheels begin grinding slower and require more effort to keep turning. See Appendix 3. Although it's difficult to see in the moment, the downward spiral is obvious when one takes a step back. We notice that production code deployments are taking ever longer to complete, moving from minutes to hours to days to weeks. And worse, the deployment outcomes have become even more problematic, that resulting in an ever-increasing number of customer-impacting outages that require more heroics and firefighting and operations, further depriving them of their ability to pay down technical debt. As a result, our product delivery cycles continue to move slower and slower. Fewer projects are undertaken, and those that are less ambitious. Furthermore, the feedback on everyone's work becomes slower and weaker, especially the feedback signals from our customers. And regardless of what we try, things seem to get worse. We are no longer able to respond quickly to our changing competitive landscape, nor are we able to provide stable, reliable service to our customers. As a result, we ultimately lose in the marketplace. Time and time again, we learn that when IT fails, the entire organization fails. As Stephen J. Spear noted in his book, The High Velocity Edge, whether the damages unfold slowly like a wasting disease or rapidly like a fiery crash, the destruction can be just as complete. Why does this downward spiral happen everywhere? For over a decade, the authors of this book have observed this destructive spiral occur in countless organizations of all types and sizes. We understand better than ever why this downward spiral occurs and why it requires DevOps principles to mitigate. First, as described earlier, every IT organization has two opposing goals. And second, every company is a technology company, whether they know it or not. As Christopher Little, a software executive and one of the earliest chroniclers of DevOps, said, "Every company is a technology company, regardless of what business they think they're in. A bank is just an IT company with a banking license." To convince ourselves that this is the case, consider that the vast majority of capital projects have some reliance upon IT. As the saying goes, it is virtually impossible to make any business decision that doesn't result in at least one IT change. In the business and finance context, projects are critical because they serve as the primary mechanism for change inside organizations. Projects are typically what management needs to approve, budget for, and be held accountable for. Therefore, they are the mechanism that achieve the goals and aspirations of the organization, whether it is to grow or even shrink. Projects are typically funded through capital spending, that is, factories, equipment, and major projects, and expenditures are capitalized when payback is expected to take years, of which 50% is now technology-related. This is even true in low-tech industry verticals with the lowest historical spending on technology, such as energy, metal, resource extraction, automotive, and construction. In other words, business leaders are far more reliant upon the effective management of IT in order to achieve their goals than they think. The costs, human and economic. When people are trapped in this downward spiral for years, especially those who are downstream of development, they often feel stuck in a system that preordains failure and leaves them powerless to change the outcomes. This powerlessness is often followed by burnout, with the associated feelings of fatigue, cynicism, and even hopelessness and despair. Many psychologists assert that creating systems that cause feelings of powerlessness is one of the most damaging things we can do to fellow human beings. We deprive other people of their ability to control their own outcomes, and even create a culture where people are afraid to do the right thing because of fear of punishment, failure, or jeopardizing their livelihood. This can create the conditions of learned helplessness, where people become unwilling or unable to act in a way that avoids the same problem in the future. For our employees, it means long hours, working on weekends, and a decreased quality of life. Not just for the employee, but for everyone who depends on them, including family and friends. It is not surprising that when this occurs, we lose our best people, except for those that feel like they can't leave because of a sense of duty or obligation. In addition to the human suffering that comes with the current way of working, the opportunity cost of the value that we could be creating is staggering. The authors believe that we are missing out on approximately $2.6 trillion of value creation per year, which is, at the time of this writing, equivalent to the annual economic output of France, the sixth largest economy in the world. Consider the following calculation. Both IDC and Gartner estimated that in 2011, approximately 5% of the worldwide gross domestic product, $3.1 trillion, was spent on IT, hardware, services, and telecom. If we estimate that 50% of that $3.1 trillion was spent on operating costs and maintaining existing systems, and that one-third of that 50% was spent on urgent and unplanned work or rework, approximately $520 billion was wasted. If adopting DevOps could enable us, through better management and increased operational excellence, to have that waste and redeploy that human potential into something that's five times the value, a modest proposal, we could create $2.6 trillion of value per year. The ethics of DevOps. There is a better way. In the previous sections, we described the problems and the negative consequences of the status quo due to the core chronic conflict, from the inability to achieve organizational goals to the damage we inflict on fellow human beings. By solving these problems, DevOps astonishingly enables us to simultaneously improve organizational performance, achieve the goals of all the various functional technology roles, for example, development, QA, IT operations, InfoSec, and improve the human condition. This exciting and rare combination may explain why DevOps has generated so much excitement and enthusiasm in so many in such a short time, including technology leaders, engineers, and much of the software ecosystem we reside in. Breaking the downward spiral with DevOps. Ideally, small teams of developers independently implement their features, validate their correctness in production-like environments, and have their code deployed into production quickly, safely, and securely. Code deployments are routine and predictable. Instead of starting deployments at midnight on Friday and spending all weekend working to complete them, deployments occur throughout the business day, when everyone is already in the office and without our customers even noticing, except when they see new features and bug fixes that delight them. And by deploying code in the middle of the workday, for the first time in decades, IT operations is working during normal business hours like everyone else. By creating fast feedback loops at every step of the process, everyone can immediately see the effects of their actions. Whenever changes are committed into version control, fast automated tests are run in production-like environments, giving continual assurance that the code and environments operate as designed and are always in a secure and deployable state. Automated testing helps developers discover their mistakes quickly, usually within minutes, which enables faster fixes as well as genuine learning. Learning that is impossible when mistakes are discovered 6 months later during integration testing, when memories and the link between cause and effect have long faded. Instead of accruing technical debt, problems are fixed as they are found, mobilizing the entire organization if needed, because global goals outweigh local goals. Pervasive production telemetry in both our code and production environments ensure that problems are detected and corrected quickly, confirming that everything is working as intended and customers are getting value from the software we create. In this scenario, everyone feels productive. The architecture allows small teams to work safely and architecturally decoupled from the work of other teams, who use self-service platforms that leverage the collective experience of operations and information security. Instead of everyone waiting all the time, with large amounts of late, urgent rework, teams work independently and productively in small batches, quickly and frequently delivering new value to customers. Even high-profile product and feature releases become routine by using dark launch techniques. Long before the launch date, we put all the required code for the feature into production, invisible to everyone except internal employees and small cohorts of real users, allowing us to test and evolve the feature until it achieves the desired business goal. And instead of firefighting for days or weeks to make the new functionality work, we merely change a feature toggle or configuration setting. This small change makes the new feature visible to ever larger segments of customers, automatically rolling back if something goes wrong. As a result, our releases are controlled, predictable, reversible, and low stress. It's not just feature releases that are calmer. All sorts of problems are being found and fixed early, when they are smaller, cheaper, and easier to correct. With every fix, we also generate organizational learnings, enabling us to prevent the problem from recurring and enabling us to detect and correct similar problems faster in the future. Furthermore, everyone is constantly learning, fostering a hypothesis-driven culture where the scientific method is used to ensure nothing is taken for granted. We do nothing without measuring and treating product development and process improvement as experiments. Because we value everyone's time, we don't spend years building features that our customers don't want, deploying code that doesn't work, or fixing something that isn't actually the cause of our problem. Because we care about achieving goals, we create long-term teams that are responsible for meeting them. Instead of project teams where developers are reassigned and shuffled around after each release, never receiving feedback on their work, we keep teams intact so they can keep iterating and improving, using those learnings to better achieve their goals. This is equally true for the product teams who are solving problems for our external customers, as well as our internal platform teams who are helping other teams be more productive, safe, and secure. Instead of a culture of fear, we have a high-trust, collaborative culture where people are rewarded for taking risks. They are able to fearlessly talk about problems, as opposed to hiding them or putting them on the back burner. After all, we must see problems in order to solve them. And because everyone fully owns the quality of their work, everyone builds automated testing into their daily work and uses peer reviews to gain confidence that problems are addressed long before they can impact a customer. These processes mitigate risk, as opposed to approvals from distant authorities, allowing us to deliver value quickly, reliably, and securely, even proving to skeptical auditors that we have an effective system of internal controls. And when something does go wrong, we conduct blameless postmortems, not to punish anyone, but to better understand what caused the accident and how to prevent it. This ritual reinforces our culture of learning. We also hold internal technology conferences to elevate our skills and ensure that everyone is always teaching and learning. Because we care about quality, we even inject faults into our production environment so we can learn how our system fails in a planned manner. We conduct planned exercises to practice large-scale failures, randomly kill processes and computer servers in production, and inject network latencies and other nefarious acts to ensure we grow ever more resilient. By doing this, we enable better resilience, as well as organizational learning and improvement. In this world, everyone has ownership in their work, regardless of their role in the technology organization. They have confidence that their work matters and is meaningfully contributing to organizational goals, proven by their low-stress work environment and their organization's success in the marketplace. Their proof is that the organization is indeed winning in the marketplace. The business value of DevOps. We have decisive evidence of the business value of DevOps. from 2013 through 2016 as part of Puppet Lab's State of DevOps report, to which authors Jez Humble and Gene Kim contributed, we collected data from over 25,000 technology professionals with the goal of better understanding the health and habits of organizations at all stages of DevOps adoption. The first surprise this data revealed was how much high-performing organizations using DevOps practices were outperforming their non-high-performing peers in the following areas: throughput metrics, code and change deployments, 30 times more frequent, code and change deployment lead time, 200 times faster, reliability metrics, production deployments, 60 times higher change success rate, mean time to restore service, 168 times faster, organizational performance metrics, productivity, market share, and profitability goals, 2 times more likely to exceed, market capitalization growth, 50% higher over 3 years. In other words, high performers were both more agile and more reliable, providing empirical evidence that DevOps enables us to break the core chronic conflict. High performers deployed code 30 times more frequently, and the time required to go from code committed to successfully running in production was 200 times faster. High performers had lead times measured in minutes or hours, while low performers had lead times measured in weeks, months, or even quarters. Furthermore, high performers were twice as likely to exceed profitability, market share, and productivity goals. And for those organizations that provided a stock ticker symbol, we found that high performers had 50% higher market capitalization growth over 3 years. They also had higher employee job satisfaction, lower rates of employee burnout, and their employees were 2.2 times more likely to recommend their organization to friends as a great place to work. High performers also had better information security outcomes. By integrating security objectives into all stages of the development and operations processes, they spent 50% less time remediating security issues. DevOps helps scale developer productivity. When we increase the number of developers, individual developer productivity often significantly decreases due to communication, integration, and testing overhead. This is highlighted in the famous book by Frederick Brooke, The Mythical Man Month, where he explains that when projects are late, adding more developers not only decreases individual developer productivity, but also decreases overall productivity. On the other hand, DevOps shows us that when we have the right architecture, the right technical practices, and the right cultural norms, small teams of developers are able to quickly, safely, and independently develop, integrate, test, and deploy changes into production. As Randy Shoup, formerly a director of engineering at Google, observed, large organizations using DevOps have thousands of developers, but their architecture and practices enable small teams to still be incredibly productive, as if they were a startup. The 2015 State of DevOps report examined not only deploys per day, but also deploys per day per developer. We hypothesized that high performers would be able to scale their number of deployments as team sizes grew. Indeed, we found that in low performers, deploys per day per developer go down as team size increases, stays constant for medium performers, and increases linearly for high performers. In other words, organizations adopting DevOps are able to linearly increase the number of deploys per day as they increase their number of developers, just as Google, Amazon, and Netflix have done. The universality of the solution. One of the most influential books in the lean manufacturing movement is The Goal: A Process of Ongoing Improvement, written by Dr. Eliyahu M. Goldratt in 1984. It influenced an entire generation of professional plant managers around the world. It was a novel about a plant manager who had to fix his cost and product due date issues in 90 days. Otherwise, his plant would be shut down. Later in his career, Dr. Goldratt described the letters he received in response to the goal. These letters would typically read, "You have obviously been hiding in our factory because you've described my life as a plant manager exactly." Most importantly, these letters showed people were able to replicate the breakthroughs in performance that were described in the book in their own work environments. The Phoenix Project, a novel about IT, DevOps, and helping your business win, written by Gene Kim, Kevin Baer, and George Spofford in 2013, was closely modeled after The Goal. It is a novel that follows an IT leader who faces all the typical problems that are endemic in IT organizations. An over-budget, behind-schedule project that must get to market in order for the company to survive. He experiences catastrophic deployments, problems with availability, security, and compliance, and so forth. Ultimately, he and his team use DevOps principles and practices to overcome those challenges, helping their organization win in the marketplace. In addition, the novel shows how DevOps practices improved the workplace environment for the team, creating lower stress and higher satisfaction because of greater practitioner involvement throughout the process. As with The Goal, there is tremendous evidence of the universality of the problems and solutions described in The Phoenix Project. Consider some of the statements found in the Amazon reviews. "I find myself relating to the characters in The Phoenix Project. I've probably met most of them over the course of my career." If you have ever worked in any aspect of IT, DevOps, or InfoSec, you will definitely be able to relate to this book. Or, "There's not a character in The Phoenix Project that I don't identify with myself or someone I know in real life, not to mention the problems faced and overcome by those characters." In the remainder of this book, we will describe how to replicate the transformation described in The Phoenix Project, as well as provide many case studies of how other organizations have used DevOps principles and practices to replicate those outcomes. The DevOps Handbook, an Essential Guide. The purpose of the DevOps Handbook is to give you the theory, principles, and practices you need to successfully start your DevOps initiative and achieve your desired outcomes. This guidance is based on decades of sound management theory, study of high-performing technology organizations, work we have done helping organizations transform, and research that validates the effectiveness of the prescribed DevOps practices, as well as interviews with relevant subject matter experts and analyses of nearly 100 case studies presented at the DevOps Enterprise Summit. Broken into 6 parts, this book covers DevOps theories and principles using the 3 ways, a specific view of the underpinning theory originally introduced in the Phoenix Project. The DevOps Handbook is for everyone who performs or influences work in the technology value stream, which typically includes product management, development, QA, IT operations, and information security, as well as for business and marketing leadership, where most technology initiatives originate. The reader is not expected to have extensive knowledge of any of these domains, or of DevOps, Agile, ITIL, Lean, or process improvement. Each of these topics is introduced and explained in the book as it becomes necessary. Our intent is to create a working knowledge of the critical concepts in each of these domains, both to serve as a primer and to introduce the language necessary to help practitioners work with all their peers across the entire IT value stream and to frame shared goals. This book will be of value to business leaders and stakeholders who are increasingly reliant upon the technology organization for the achievement of their goals. Furthermore, this book is intended for readers whose organizations might not be experiencing all the problems described in the book, for example, long deployment lead times or painful deployments. Even readers in this fortunate position will benefit from understanding DevOps principles, especially those relating to shared goals, feedback, and continual learning. In Part 1, we present a brief history of DevOps and introduce the underpinning theory and key themes from relevant bodies of knowledge that span over decades. We then present the high-level principles of the three ways: flow, feedback, and continual learning and experimentation. Part 2 describes how and where to start and presents concepts such as value streams, organizational design principles and patterns, organizational adoption patterns, and case studies. Part 3 describes how to accelerate flow by building the foundations of our deployment pipeline, enabling fast and effective automated testing, continuous integration, continuous delivery, and architecting for low-risk releases. Part 4 discusses how to accelerate and amplify feedback by creating effective production telemetry to see and solve problems, better anticipate problems and achieve goals, enable feedback so that dev and ops can safely deploy changes, integrate A/B testing into our daily work, and create review and coordination processes to increase the quality of our work. Part 5 describes how we accelerate continual learning by establishing a just culture, converting local discoveries into global improvements, and properly reserving time to create organizational learning and improvements. Finally, in Part 6, we describe how to properly integrate security and compliance into our daily work by integrating preventative security controls into shared source code repositories and services, integrating security into our deployment pipeline, enhancing telemetry to better enable detection and recovery, protecting the deployment pipeline, and achieving change management objectives. By codifying these practices, we hope to accelerate the adoption of DevOps practices, increase the success of DevOps initiatives, and lower the activation energy required for DevOps transformations. Part 1. Introduction. In Part 1 of the DevOps Handbook, we will explore how the convergence of several important movements in management and technology set the stage for the DevOps movement. We describe value streams, how DevOps is the result of applying lean principles to the technology value stream, and the three ways: flow, feedback, and continual learning and experimentation. Primary focuses within these chapters include the principles of flow, which accelerate the delivery of work from development to operations to our customers; the principles of feedback, which enable us to create ever safer systems of work; the principles of continual learning and experimentation foster a high trust culture and a scientific approach to organizational improvement risk-taking as part of our daily work. A brief history. DevOps and its resulting technical, architectural, and cultural practices represent a convergence of many philosophical and management movements. While many organizations have developed these principles independently, understanding that DevOps resulted from a broad stroke of movements, a phenomenon described by John Willis, one of the co-authors of this book, as the convergence of DevOps, shows an amazing progression of thinking and improbable connections. There are decades of lessons learned from manufacturing, high reliability organization, high trust management models, and others that have brought us to the DevOps practices we know today. DevOps is the outcome of applying the most trusted principles from the domain of physical manufacturing and leadership to the IT value stream. DevOps relies on bodies of knowledge from lean, theory of constraints, the Toyota production system, resilience engineering, learning organizations, safety culture, human factors, and many others. Other valuable contexts that DevOps draws from include high trust management cultures, servant leadership, and organizational change management. The result is world-class quality, reliability, stability, and security at ever lower cost and effort, and accelerated flow and reliability throughout the technology value stream, including product management, development, QA, IT operations, and InfoSec. While the foundation of DevOps can be seen as being derived from Lean, the theory of constraints, and the Toyota Kata movement, many also view DevOps as the logical continuation of the agile software journey that began in 2001. The Lean movement. Techniques such as value stream mapping, Kanban boards, and total productive maintenance were codified for the Toyota production system in the 1980s. In 1997, the Lean Enterprise Institute started researching applications of Lean to other value streams, such as the service industry and healthcare. Two of Lean's major tenets include the deeply held belief that manufacturing lead time required to convert raw materials into finished goods was the best predictor of quality, customer satisfaction, and employee happiness, and that one of the best predictors of short lead times was small batch sizes of work. Lean principles focus on how to create value for the customer through systems thinking by creating constancy of purpose, embracing scientific thinking, creating flow and pull versus push, assuring quality at the source, leading with humility, and respecting every individual. The Agile Manifesto. The Agile Manifesto was created in 2001 by 17 of the leading thinkers in software development. They wanted to create a lightweight set of values and principles against heavyweight software development processes, such as waterfall development and methodologies such as the rational unified process. One key principle was to deliver working software frequently, from a couple of weeks to a couple of months, with a preference to the shorter time scale, emphasizing the desire for small batch sizes, incremental releases instead of large waterfall releases. Other principles emphasized the need for small, self-motivated teams working in a high-trust management model. Agile is credited for dramatically increasing the productivity of many development organizations. And interestingly, many of the key moments in DevOps history also occurred within the Agile community or at Agile conferences, as described below. Agile Infrastructure and Velocity Movement. At the 2008 Agile Conference in Toronto, Canada, Patrick Dubois and Andrew Schaefer held a Birds of a Feather session on applying Agile principles to infrastructure as opposed to application code. Although they were the only people who showed up, they rapidly gained a following of like-minded thinkers, including co-author John Willis. Later, at the 2009 Velocity Conference, John Allspaw and Paul Hammond gave the seminal 10 Deploys Per Day, Dev and Ops Cooperation at Flickr presentation, where they described how they created shared goals between Dev and Ops and used continuous integration practices to make deployment part of everyone's daily work. According to firsthand accounts, everyone attending the presentation immediately knew they were in the presence of something profound and of historic significance. Patrick Dubois was not there, but was so excited by Allspaw and Hammond's idea that he created the first DevOps Days in Ghent, Belgium, where he lived, in 2009. There, the term DevOps was coined. The Continuous Delivery Movement. Building upon the development discipline of continuous build, test, and integration, Jez Humble and David Farley extended the concept to continuous delivery, which defined the role of a deployment pipeline to ensure that code and infrastructure are always in a deployable state, and that all code checked into trunk can be safely deployed into production. This idea was first presented at the 2006 Agile Conference and was also independently developed in 2009 by Tim Fitz in a blog post on his website titled Continuous Deployment. Toyota Kata. In 2009, Mike Rother wrote Toyota Kata, Managing People for Improvement, Adaptiveness, and Superior Results, which framed his 20-year journey to understand and codify the Toyota production system. He had been one of the graduate students who flew with GM executives to visit Toyota plants and helped develop the Lean Toolkit. But he was puzzled when none of the companies adopting these practices replicated the level of performance observed at the Toyota plants. He concluded that the Lean community missed the most important practice of all, which he called the improvement kata. He explains that every organization has work routines, and the improvement kata requires creating structure for the daily, habitual practice of improvement work, because daily practice is what improves outcomes. The constant cycle of establishing desired future states, setting weekly target outcomes, and the continual improvement of daily work is what guided improvement at Toyota. The proceeding describes the history of DevOps and relevant movements that it draws upon. Throughout the rest of Part 1, we look at value streams, how lean principles can be applied to the technology value stream, and the three ways of flow, feedback, and continual learning and experimentation.